This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. It's Thanksgiving Eve, and we're taking a break from politics and news to talk about gardens and landscapes and plants and Christmas trees. So joining us for the monthly gardening show, our Boone County Extension Service agent, David Kester. David, thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
Turner Farm Community Garden Manager, Joshua Jones. Joshua, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And we have Campbell County Extension Office agent, Sarah Stoll. Sarah, thank you for being here as well.
Absolutely.
And we want to hear from all of you out there listening too. Today we're talking about the types of vegetables that maybe you grew and you'll be serving at your upcoming holiday events. What type of features do you look for in a live Christmas tree? What kind of plant is the right one to give as a gift? Give us a call, 513-419-7100. And if you have any general questions about gardening and landscaping and trees and flowers and all that good stuff, you can call us for those things too. We're taking all of your questions at 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we'll look for your comments and tweets and get some of those to our panel of experts as well. So it's nice to take a break from the news. So we start the monthly gardening show with impeachment. Guys, no, I'm kidding, of course.
They're great trees.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And I'm wondering, you know, you all are our experts. Anybody serving anything fresh from their garden to the table? Sarah, we'll start with you.
Well, I wish.
Oh, silence.
Sarah gave us the blank face, so that's a big no. We'll move on to David.
Well, you know, it would be if this would have been a good year for fall broccoli, and definitely, and fall cauliflower would have been doing well. Never got it planted, so I am just going to the store and buying, or to the farmer's market, which I would imagine that at certain farmer's market you would be getting some local, fresh cauliflower, broccoli, those kind of things, as well as some great lettuce right now.
So we harvested some sweet potatoes, which is one of my favorite crops to harvest, and we did a donation to the Hosea House and NKU Fuel Food Pantry over the week. So I didn't make anything with them, but I have harvested.
Someone's going to make something nice with those.
Yeah.
We talked last week on this show during our Friday news review about our favorite side dishes, and I mean, sweet potatoes, it's really indisputable.
Can't beat it.
Yeah.
They're so versatile. They're good as a French fry. They're good baked. They're just amazing, amazing. Is it a vegetable?
Yes, and very nutritious.
Yeah, really
unless
good.
You add a lot of brown sugar.
Right, exactly. But they are the good kind of carbs too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the good kind of carbs. Okay, for people who might have thought, well, I didn't get anything in the ground this year, so I'm not serving anything fresh for my personal garden. Maybe I'll go out to the grocery or the farmer's market and pick up something good. Mm-hmm. But next year, darn it, I'm going to have something fresh from my yard on this table. What are the best items, Josh, that we grow around here that maybe stand out compared to other regions?
So really strong crops. Sweet potatoes, I think, is an easy one because you can harvest them a little early and store them for quite a while. I think a lot of our holiday winter squashes, delicata, butternut, spaghetti, all are really great, not only for culinarily, they're great for Thanksgiving, but they hold up really well. They store well. And roots. Don't be afraid to add in roots, some nice, fresh, roasted carrots. Carrots are super sweet when they come out in the fall, so it's a perfect time to add those to your Thanksgiving meal instead of doing the canned or having to go to the grocery store. I love daikon radish as a Thanksgiving and Christmas food. It's a little bit spicy of a radish, but they hold up really well. They're still growing in the ground right now, so I was able to go pull some actually yesterday for my Thanksgiving meal.
You actually eat the radish. It's not just for a garnish.
It's not just for a garnish, especially mm-hmm. the daikon has a nice spice to it. It's subtle, but it's there. It's a great addition. It doesn't necessarily stand alone very well, but it's a great addition. You can add them into your green bean casserole for a bit of bite, nice texture there. So there are definitely a lot of roots that you can use this time of year.
Awesome. And David, for those who are thinking, well, what could I plant next year that could have an extended life in the cabinet or the refrigerator, canned or something? Do we specialize in this region in anything that holds up well for an extended period of time after the main gardening season?
Well, one of the things that we have frequently, and I this would be fresh, but would be kale. You can plant that very early in the spring. You can carry it through the summer. You have to slow it down during the summer. Just pick the top leaves and or I'm sorry, start from the bottom and come up and leave some of the top. And then when it gets into the cool season of fall again, it's right there. And I mean, there's kale that will frequently overwinter and be ready and growing come the next spring. Now, lately we've had bitter cold, some little bit more cold during the winter than we have in the past, and that can kind of take it out. But sometimes it works.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to ask your question about gardening or to share your perspective on what we're talking about. So Christmas is next after Thanksgiving, and we're all thinking about gifts for special people in our lives, and maybe we want to be creative or thoughtful, and maybe we want to give a live plant. We talked a little bit about this before we went on the air, and I got a lot of shrugs, like this was a really bad idea. But we talked about it in our pre-production meeting and thought some people were doing this. Good idea, bad idea, what's the right plant to give? Sarah, do you have any ideas on this?
Well, you know, you can help another neighbor out by cleaning their garden out, you know, offering some services.
Giving a plant, clean up their existing.
Yeah, but gift certificates, tools, you know, help. Yeah, indoor plants, I have too many of them. So just thinking about that, you never know what the light requirements people have or the light situation that people have. So sometimes that could be a sticky situation. So gift cards are always really nice, or maybe going out and help planting a tree with them, or even making a donation to an organization, buying them some seeds or
something. That's so very thoughtful. But if somebody brings a live plant, you end that friendship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless it's
that's the
low maintenance.
Yeah, I think cactuses, and Sarah mentioned this in our pre-show, that the air plants are very good because they're very low maintenance. I think it's analogous to giving the kitten. It's great at the beginning, but now you've given us a responsibility that we have to, you know, be responsible for the next 5, 10, 15 years if we're really good at what we do. So, yeah, just be really cognizant of who you're giving that plant to and what those plant requirements are.
David, you've got some strong thoughts on this, don't you?
I do. I mean, I think Christmas cactus are very pretty, and I think poinsettias are I must say my taste goes to the red and the white and maybe the pink, but other than that, I like poinsettias. I just think it's really, you know, that industry, the greenhouse industry, they will sell you that beautiful plant. You enjoy it really through the holidays into the new year. And then the best thing to do is to take it out and put it in your compost pile and get rid of it. And they'll be more than happy to sell you another one next year. We always get the question is, how do I get it to rebloom? And it's a tricky thing. They are daylight sensitive. You have to keep them in darkness for a good period going into getting them to. And it's actually not the flower. Those are leaf bracts that do the coloring. The flower is that really inconspicuous yellow center of the leaf bracts. And getting those to recolor is difficult. Getting a Christmas cactus to rebloom is difficult. So those are all daylight sensitive, and it's not just giving it water and supplying the nutrient needs. You have to do some shade cloth and putting it in a closet for 12 hours a day for a certain number of days. And even if you miss a day, it'll throw the whole system off.
But you know a lot about poinsettias. That's the flower of the season, right?
It is. It's you know, it was goes back to it's Mexico when Joel Poinsett was the ambassador to Mexico, and he they named that flower after him.
I think your next dog's name needs to be poinsettia.
I like that.
Poinsettia.
It's really sweet. I like that a lot. What about a mistletoe? What is a mistletoe?
Oh, it's a.
It's a sap. Oh, what is it? It's a
parasite.
Parasite. Yeah.
And really? We're all motivated to kiss by a parasite. Isn't that ironic?
It is.
And I was traveling through Winchester yesterday, and there in Lexington, and there's quite a few of those. So now with a lot of the trees defoliated, you can see those. You know, high up in the canopy of the tree. I don't see too many around like northern Kentucky area. I feel like they're in abundance in certain areas, but
there used to be the the way to get that out of the tree in Kentucky was to take a shotgun. Now, this is not
that
recommended.
That is a Kentucky remedy for a lot of situations.
But you blew them out of the tree with a shotgun, but not recommended.
All right. I want to talk about Christmas trees as well, whether picking a live one is the right idea. And if you do want to go that route, how to do it. But let's get some of our callers in. And we want to hear from callers on that, too. Are you going with a live tree this year? Is it a tradition? Is it something you avoid? And if you do it, what are you looking for? But we'll take some calls at 513-419-7100. And up first is Carol. Hi, Carol. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I wanted to talk about chestnuts.
All right. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, my favorite way to eat them is as a warm snack. Just boil them, cut them, peel them. And they're wonderful. They can be added to stuffing or used as part of a recipe for cakes or quick breads. By putting some of them in a blender with the liquids until it's all creamy, and then you don't have to add as much flour. They're a carb, like, you know, wheat, rice, oats, but they're gluten-free, and they grow on a tree, so they're permaculture. And I'm in northern Kentucky, almost to Falmouth, where we have a young 5-acre orchard. It's just beginning to produce. So now I don't have to go to the Asian market or the grocery store. I can just get them from my backyard.
Oh, that sounds so lovely. So that's in Pendleton County?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we sell seedlings so people can grow their own chestnut trees, too. And they mature quickly. They give it doesn't take too many years before you get a crop.
Your very own chestnuts roasting on an open fire this season. Are they high maintenance, Carol, or are they difficult? Did you find them difficult?
No, they're drought tolerant, you know, once they're established. And
awesome.
I don't know. They're easy.
Well, it sounds like a great snack, and we do appreciate the call so much, Carol. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your call.
Okay.
All right, 513-419-7100 is the number if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's go to the phones again. We've got Charlie on the line. Hi, Charlie. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Yeah, two-part question, if you don't mind. I have a large sweet gum tree, and I took all the typical ground cover out, the ivy type of ground cover, because I just don't like it. And I need to replace it, and I'd like to replace it with some type of grass, like the Japanese, I think, sedges they're called or something like that. So just wondering what suggestions your guests could give me.
Okay. Charlie, we appreciate that. Anybody want to take a shot at that one?
Well, you know, that congratulations about the ivy, so kudos to that. As far as putting something back in there, you just have to be conscientious about the sun exposure. So, you know, you mentioned grasses. So there are certain grasses or sedges that are able to tolerate shade. So I would like, you know, send me an email and we can correspond that way because we want to make sure that it gets the appropriate amount of light exposure. You know, for me, what I like to do around under trees or ferns, or there are other shade loving perennial plants that can tolerate that exposure. But just be mindful that not most grasses need sun. Grasses and sedges need
right.
sun. So I would like to send you a list. We have a display garden at the extension office. Now, the challenge that we have found is we mail order through a wholesale place, and sometimes, you know, our nurseries locally aren't able or don't have some of these sedges and grasses that we're displaying. I always okay. encourage people to go to their nursery to see if they can get them for them. But I would be glad to help you with that and even give you okay. the wholesale spot that we have in some other nurseries around town that could hopefully be able to assist you on that.
There you go, Charlie. We hope that was helpful, and thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. We're going to get to some more calls. We have a few lines open as well. If you want to join us, and don't forget, we want to hear about live Christmas trees. Is that something you choose? Is it something you advise against? And what do you look for when you're out there tree hunting? Call us at 513-419-7100. Our full hour of gardening tips continues. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Joining us for our monthly gardening show, our Boone County Extension Service Agent, David Kester. David, thanks for sticking around.
Thank you.
And we have Turner Farm Community Garden Manager Joshua Jones. Hi, Joshua.
Hey.
And Campbell County Extension Office Agent Sarah Stoll. Sarah, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely.
As well. So we're talking about Christmas trees. We've got some callers on the line. I'm not sure that these questions will be about that yet. We're going to get to those comments coming up. 513-419-7100 is our number. Deb is up next. Hi, Deb.
Hi there. How are you?
We're well. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Thank you. Well, it's not about Christmas trees.
That's okay.
But, every year I seem to miss the cutoff for planting spring bulbs. Is there the best time, and when should be a cutoff date?
All right, Deb, we're going to let you go and have our panel answer your question offline. Thanks so much for the call, Deb. Go ahead. Best time for spring bulbs.
Deb, best time is, obviously would have been maybe October, but as long as the ground isn't frozen, get those things in. They're much better off in the ground than they are in your basement or somewhere else. So as long as the ground isn't frozen, get them in.
So, we just planted some yesterday.
Oh, okay. So the ground is still okay for if you're a little tardy, like Deb sounds like she may be, that she can get out there on this long weekend and possibly have her things ready for the spring?
Yeah, I typically wait until all the bulbs go on sale because it's in the middle of the wintertime, and then I wait for a nice thaw, and then I'll go out there and put all my bulbs in when we have a two or three-day warm period.
Well, what might that be in terms of the calendar?
I've planted them late as early January on a thaw date in January. And as long as you're going to get that freeze behind when you plant them, that's all the plants are really looking for, the bulbs are looking for.
Great advice. 513-419-7100 is our number. Next up is Greg. Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Happy Thanksgiving. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I've got a question. Past summer when I planted some herbs, when I was at the garden center, I found a little four-pack of leek plants, and when I just went out to pick some sage on the garden, I realized, I forgot about those, and they're still out there. They've got green tops. They look, I haven't dug them up yet, but they look more like a big spring onion or green onion than a leek. So, is that still something that's good to dig up and eat and maybe add to my stuffing?
It's definitely edible. You can overwinter them with maybe a little bit of mulch. Put some soil up around them. They'll kind of give you a longer white stalk if you do that. But they're certainly edible, and they're really a fun vegetable to grow. I think they're a lot of they're a fairly long season vegetable, as you probably figured out. And we plant them in early spring, and then we don't harvest them until sometimes October.
So good luck, Greg. That sounds like a delicious stuffing that you're going to be making this weekend. Thanks so much for the call. 513-419-7100 is the number to call. We're going to return to those phone lines in just a moment. But let's talk about Christmas trees, because it's the time of year, and maybe this weekend's a big popular weekend to take on this task. If you are a family or a person who likes to have the live Christmas tree in your house, it smells really good, maybe it's a tradition, you're going out hunting this weekend for such a thing. Is that the right thing to do? How do you do it correctly? I'll open it up to the floor.
Okay, by live, you're talking about a cut tree, I'm assuming, one that was alive back in hopefully October, although sometimes they cut even earlier than that, and then they bring them in. And so those are live trees, and that is really, I think, environmentally the best way to go, because they are from a farm and they're usually grown on marginal land that can't support anything else. We have gotten a number of live trees over the year that actually have a bird's nest in it, and obviously the birds are not nesting at this time, so it does support some wildlife. And you're supporting agriculture when you do that. And I think it's the way to go. And, you really want to we've developed a relationship with where we get our live trees. And I know when they're cut, and I know they're fresh when they come in. And I would really try to build that kind of relationship wherever you go so that you know that, you know, we like to put ours up at Thanksgiving and then carry it all the way through to the New Year's. And that's a long time in a hot house. And so you want that tree to be fresh when you bring it in.
Okay. Any other of you want to weigh in on yes or no on the live trees?
So I always like to remind people that you need to keep that water reservoir filled. It's easy to forget about. Your cat will probably go down there and try to drink some of it because cats do love that Christmas tree. But make sure you do that. It's going to save your needles from falling all over. I know that's always a Christmas time annoyance. And yeah, just want to reiterate what Dave says. There's a lot of misconception that having a live tree is really detrimental. But you really have to, if you do opt for a synthetic tree, you have to have that for so long to really offset that carbon footprint of making that plastic tree. I'm completely supportive of having those live trees. Just keep it watered so it doesn't dry out and it doesn't become some sort of safety hazard.
And Sarah, I suppose there's some benefit to having a live tree in that it can be used in some capacity after the fact, right?
Yeah, actually, I was going to point that out. So I've always had a live Christmas tree as well. And so a lot of times there are cities that will take these Christmas trees and they use them as mulch or they grind them up. Or you can just put them – I just put it in the backyard and sometimes even harvest the needles myself. You can actually make different decorations with them and keep them up, you know, throughout like a door swag or, you know, anything like that. So that's what I like to do. It still, you know, biodegrades and you – cut up the wood and use it as firewood, you know, so you just don't throw it away.
So when your family uses the live tree, do you go out and chop it yourself? Do you do the whole thing or do you go to a lot and buy one?
I wish I had like this, you know, movie like setting that you go out in the forest with an axe and with your hot cocoa and you do all that. But I think that's Hollywood in my world. So no, I actually have a Norfolk pine and I bought it when my daughter was born. So that's my tradition, which is a tropical evergreen. So I move it in and out. It's my indoor plant and it's my Christmas tree as well as my tropical tree. It does not have the sparkles on it. I bought it at a nursery in Cincinnati. So that's what I use now. So I bought one tree. It's in a container. And I use it all year round.
That's very smart. I like that. Well, we want to hear from you as well, what your perspective is, what you think about that, and all of your gardening and landscaping questions, no matter what they may be about. 513-419-7100 is the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. Liz is on the line. Hi, Liz. What's your question or comment?
Hi, everyone. I'm friends with Joshua. We keep bees together.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Josh. I do buy live trees, and in the end, I just throw it in the woods behind my house as cover for little animals of wildlife through winter.
Interesting.
And the question is about this leave the leaves idea. My neighbors are raking their leaves, or their landscapers are raking their leaves and sucking them up and hauling them off. And I just started leaving my leaves in the yard also as habitat for small animals or fly eggs, et cetera. Can you all talk a little bit about how to kind of navigate neighbors' ideas of what a clean lawn should look like or a healthy lawn should look like and what to do with all of those leaves?
All right, Liz, we appreciate the question. Happy Thanksgiving to you. We'll hang up and let the panel address it. Thank you.
Okay.
If you have a lot of trees and they're all deciduous, they lose their leaves, they can cover ground and they can smother the grass. So actually removing some of those or raking them up and composting them, don't throw them away, composting them. You can also use your lawnmower to go over the top of them and make them smaller. And the smaller they are, the more rapidly they'll decay. So either way, but it is really a good idea if you value your yard, your lawn, to keep them from matting.
Yeah, and mulching them with the lawnmower is the best way to go. Like Dave said, it breaks them up. Another thing I've done is actually pile them around the base of the tree where I already have an established planter, or say that the grass is kind of receded back into a soil bed, and I'll put all the leaves there because they'll break down. But as far as the neighbors go and the perception of what a lawn should look like, you know, just try to explain to them that that is nutrient resources for your grass to use as long as you're breaking them down. And if you have a wood line on your property, you can also try to just break them into the wood line and get rid of most of them and then mow the rest and let them mulch.
One thing I saw over 2 days ago actually was someone was blowing all the leaves in the road. And so I caution people doing that. They get into the sewers and it clogs things up and it causes some issues. So just be mindful of that. Just because they're off your property doesn't mean you've done environmentally justice.
And they're very, very dangerous for motorcyclists.
Yeah, they're very slick.
Yeah, they turn into ice. So very, very dangerous to blow them into the street.
At the top of the show, we talked a little bit about how people might be utilizing some of their own personal harvest for Thanksgiving or holiday meals this season. And we did get a call earlier from Brian, and he says he's planning on harvesting a deer that he hunted, and he'll be adding garlic, sage, and he's planning on making a deer liver pate.
I don't know about the pate, but thank you for lessening the deer pressure a little bit. My garden, yes. Thanks you. My tulips, thank you. Our fruit trees, thank you. So, yeah, I love that he's bringing some environmental benefit, and as well as kind of going outside the norm at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I always like a non-traditional dish at Thanksgiving that somebody brings. It's always kind of livens up the cuisine.
Well, there's been a big debate about whether lasagna is appropriate for Thanksgiving.
Lasagna is always appropriate.
It's always appropriate.
I think it's always appropriate,
yeah.
Too. Mm-hmm. We can't grow that in the yard, though, can we?
No, because you can tomatoes and peppers and an eggplant and all the vegetables. It doesn't always have to think outside the box, Michael.
I live in this little box. We got an email also from Scott. He says he planted broccoli early in the fall. It didn't bloom. He has grown it successfully in the fall and in the spring and other years.
We got a bad year for broccoli.
Yeah.
That cold snap really killed us.
We had warm temperatures so late into it that a lot of them went immediately to flower. They didn't form heads. This was not a good fall for some of those things.
I guess, you know, like a sports team, you have a down year, right? You got a rebuilding year and you come back next season.
Try again.
Absolutely. So good luck with the broccoli out there. It just sounds like a bad season, Scott, and maybe a better one is around the corner. 513-419-7100 is the number to join us. Lynn, you're up next. Hi, Lynn. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Michael. I have a 150-year-old brick home in Mainstroth in northern Kentucky.
Lovely.
And I've recently discovered a Boston or English ivy crawling up the north and west side of it. And I'm wondering, will it hurt my home? Will it hurt the brick? Should I kill it? Should I water it?
I love that look, but no, it's not a good, it isn't good for your brick, and especially 150-year-old, that mortar in there is probably, you know, I probably would not let that happen, and I would take it down.
I'm sure it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
It always looks nice to see the ivy, but I guess it can be detrimental.
Yeah. And I would caution, like, pulling it off.
Yes.
So if you could find the, you know, go down to the soil and chop it off there, you know, either take, you know, an axe or whatever tool you need, and then just let it die back itself and then nicely remove it from the brick.
Yeah, let it die before you try pulling it off.
There you go, Lynn. Good luck with that beautiful house of yours in Mainstroth. We appreciate the call and happy Thanksgiving to you. 513-419-7100 is our number. Matt, you're up next. Hi, Matt. What's your question or comment?
Hey, Michael. I'm calling about the woman that called in about chestnuts. So I'm a fellow chestnut enthusiast, and I want to go to her her farm, and I want to buy some chestnuts. And well, maybe buy some chestnuts. I don't know if she actually sells them, but she said she had trees.
Yeah, I think she said something about saplings. You know, she didn't give the exact location, Matt, but Her name was Carol. She says that it's about a 5-acre farm near Falmouth. So let me do this for you, Matt. I'll put you back on hold. We'll get your email address. Our producer will take your email address. And we will put out a call right now here live on the air on 91.7 WVXU. Carol, if you're still listening to us, give us a call back. And our producer, Elise Meckler, will connect you to. And we will make sure that you have fresh chestnuts roasting on your open fire as well, Matt.
Oh, I love connecting people. I think this might be the second time.
That's perfect. Matt, good luck out there. But again, her name was Carol, 5 acres in Falmouth. Let Google do the rest for you. If we're not able to connect you, I hope it works out, though.
I would like to know the type of chestnut she has. You know, obviously, we've lost our American chestnut, and these might be Chinese or a partial American, but it's a really tragic story about the Chinese or the American chestnut. It was such an incredible tree, and it was in Appalachia, and it fed so many people in Appalachia and they would send railroad cars of chestnuts into New York. And, of course, the chestnut blight went through and wiped them all out.
So there is some replanting of that. In fact, Bernheim Forest, right outside of Louisville, they are doing some research, and I know some other forests as well are replanting the American chestnut.
Okay, Matt, we've got you on hold there. Elise, we'll get back to you and get that information. And Carol, give us a call back and see if we can't get old Matt down to your chestnut farm in Pendleton County. 513-419-7100 is our number to call. If you'd like to join this conversation, we'll get a quick break in, and we will come back with lots more questions and lots more commentary from our wonderful panel of experts here on Thanksgiving Eve. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We've got the monthly gardening show rolling on right now with Boone County Extension Service Agent David Kester. Hi, David.
Thank you.
Turner Farm Community Garden Manager Joshua Jones. Hi, Joshua.
Hello.
And Campbell County Extension Office Agent Sarah Stoll. Sarah, hello.
Howdy.
513-419-7100 is the number to call. You may have heard before the break that we talked a little bit about whether you could grow your own lasagna, and apparently all the ingredients, including the cheese, Sarah, is something that can come from...
I think you need to do this now, and I invite me over.
You've been challenged.
I've got to make the cheese, though. I mean, you can make the cheese, you know. Oh, man, this just sounds so laborious, and it involves an animal and an udder, and I don't know. But I tell you what, I've got a birthday coming up in January, and this sounds like a good challenge. Now that I'm getting to be middle-aged, I'm ready to grow as a man. Maybe we'll make one on the air or figure out how to, like, prepare the ingredients.
Buy some local wine and just have everything.
We will need a lot of local wine.
Local wine's
key. If I'm milking a goat or something, I can tell you that.
I like that you go to instantly having to milk your own animal if you're going to make cheese.
Don't you have to milk?
You could purchase, but I just like where your head's at. You're going to milk the
I thought we were doing this
yourself.
Organic thing. It sounded like we're pulling from the garden.
You can even make the pasta.
Really?
Oh, this
is fabulous.
Saying.
You can.
Yeah, you can.
All right. Well, we'll find a goat later on. Let's get back to the calls. 513-419-7100. Sylvia is up next. Hi, Sylvia. What's your question or comment?
Hi there. Well, I'm a fan of pollinators, you know, trying to do the best. And a friend of mine knows that, and she gave me this bag with lots of milkweed, which have been quartered so that you can see the seeds in the individualized little packets. Well, I did not plant it when she gave it to me because it seemed like not a good idea then. But can I still plant these?
I wouldn't put them out now. I think I'd put those in the refrigerator, keep them until spring, and then I would put them out. I think they should be fine at that time. After all, you know, it's milkweed. It is a weed, so they're pretty tough.
Okay, there
you go. In the garage?
That'd be fine. Just in a, either there or in the refrigerator until
we don't want them to freeze, right?
Right. Now, you know what? I mean, it's not going to hurt them that much, but you really just want to keep them cool and just wait until the weather warms up, April or so, put them out, and they should be fine.
There you go, Sylvia. Hope that was helpful for you. Happy Thanksgiving, and good luck with that. Okay, 513-419-7100 is the number. Julie is on the line. Hi, Julie. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I went shopping for my Thanksgiving dinner supplies last night and just went to one store, but I always make fresh cranberries. and I did not find one bag. And I was wondering if something was affecting the crops this year for cranberries.
I don't know if it has anything to do with any of, you know, California thinking of where they come from. But if they had any water.
A lot of them are on East Coast,
yeah,
I believe.
Maine.
Yeah,
Maine.
Northeast.
Okay.
And I don't think it – I'm unaware of any crop failures in cranberries. It could have just been late to the holiday market, and cranberries obviously being a huge fan favorite. And I think we've gone away from using the processed cranberry, and more people are moving to making these really fresh dishes. So that might have something to do with it. Just our culture has changed.
I was before I came in here today, I was in a large Cincinnati-based store, grocery store, and they had quantities of whole cranberries in plastic in bags.
So, well, can you say the location of that particular
one?
Well,
this one was actually in Campbell County.
They've got one in Cold Spring.
Yes,
they've got one in Newport.
Yes, they do. And they're
what,
around
the Martha Lanes?
Yes, Martha Lane.
By NKU.
Collins. And
Julie, get to the Kroger by NKU.
NKU, okay.
And the extension
one.
Office and go through the garden while you're there.
There's a plug. One plug was probably appropriate. One probably was not. So I apologize to my boss for that. Julie, thanks so much for the call. Happy Thanksgiving to you. 513-419-7100 is the number to call. I believe this is Han. Hi, Han.
Hi there.
Is it Han?
Han.
Got it. I apologize for the confusion. I wasn't sure of the pronunciation, but glad to have you. What's your question or comment?
Well, you were talking about live Christmas trees. I was wondering, what's the best species to grow in an area like Cincinnati if I wanted to harvest my own tree that I grew in my yard? And what would be the time period? Like, how long would it take to be, you know, big enough and mature enough to have that tree?
I love this question because this is like you're looking out for like Christmas well down the road, Han. So
like 2025.
Oh, really? So that's not so far off.
It's about 7 years so is what they, and you know, you can really select a lot of different ones. I guess if you're not going to do a lot of pruning and things, the Norway spruce, which is a little bit slower growing than some of the others. But if you're going to prune them and work with them, there's a number of different trees that you can get for this area.
I would just – I mean, white pines, they're just very weak. And, you know, I would just caution using those. I mean, we see well-established ones around here. But with ice storms, wind storms like today – you know, there. I already saw some branches out and about on the street and then yards. And whenever I hear about wind or ice, I think about like willow trees and white pines and river birches and, yeah.
Sounds nice. Han, that should be some good advice. And if this works out for you, hope you'll call the show in about 8 years and let us know how beautiful that tree turned out, okay?
Oh, I will. Thanks.
Happy Thanksgiving, Han. 513-419-7100 is our number. We continue to take calls. Now we've got Sue on the line. Hi, Sue. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I have a perennial garden that I planted in the spring, and I want to keep the soil warm around it, so I heard to put wood chips as a mulch and also leaves. And I'm wondering, some people are saying cover the plants with that combination. Others I'm hearing say keep it away from where the plant enters the soil so you don't get root rot. What would you guys recommend?
Well, you're not really keeping the soil warm. You the mulch will do that, but honestly, you're trying to just to keep a steady temperature there, and you're actually at in the spring of the year, you want to keep the soil cool so that they don't immediately start growing too soon, and the mulch will just kind of alleviate the extremes in temperature. And that's what it does for your plants. I don't necessarily like covering anything with a heavy layer of mulch. I don't think it will hurt if everything is dyed back to the ground level. You can then certainly put some mulch over the top of it, not real deep.
There you go, Sue. I hope that was helpful. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and thanks so much for the call. Let's continue now with Emma. Hi, Emma. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I decided to plant artichokes this year. I went and purchased three plants, and I did not harvest the plant because I was on YouTube, and it was a Michigan farmer who said you could grow it in Michigan, so I figured you can grow it in Cincinnati. But now my question is, how do I winter these things? So do I cut them all the way back down to the, you know, to the ground level? Do I, what do I do?
I tried to do this a while ago, and you it's a biennial, and you have to trick it into thinking that it's gone through one growing season and then it's going to produce and flower. However, I think there are some new ones out that you can get in 1 year. I don't know how successful they've been. I'm not familiar with it lately. I tried it a long time ago and was not successful with it.
I can't think of the actual variety that I've grown, but they do have a 1 year, very analogous to an annual, that will, you can seed it and it'll produce. You have to start it really, really early because it's such a long crop. I think it's over 120 days, which is pretty much the extreme of crop length. So start it in a greenhouse early, and you can just get away with it. And then I pull it at the end of the year and do the same the following year. I just treat it as an annual.
It's a beautiful plant.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. Actually, it did produce artichokes this year, and I let them go to the actual purple flower that it goes to. So maybe I'll have luck this coming year, season.
I had a grower when I was in Louisville, and again, Louisville, their summers are 5+ degrees warmer than up here, but in the wintertime, they would, they installed a high tunnel, so it's just a miniature greenhouse, if you will. So they just used PVC pipe, rainbowed it over, arched it over, and used a white plastic, and they were able to, as David mentioned, mimic or trick that plant into, so they never, again, they had them here for a few years. I don't ever recall them cutting them back.
Well, I would at least cut the flower head off.
Oh, yeah,
and leave
head.
The foliage, but
yes.
Cut that flower head off over the winter, and just, we're going to see what happens come spring is the way I would treat it.
All right. Well, good luck, Emma. We hope that works out for you. And I love the idea of tricking a plant. See, that's the kind of gardening I get into. Let's go out there and fool them. I love that. Okay, it's time for the lightning round. We're running out of time. We've got people on the line we want to get to. So callers, if you're on hold right now, we're coming to you. But we will need you to go a little more quickly than we've been going so we can get you all in before we hit the end of the show. Let's continue now with Andy. Hi, Andy. You're up next. What's your question or comment?
Hey, guys. Love Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you.
I do make my own lasagna from scratch. You can, too.
Nice.
You got everything to make the sauce in the garden. You go out there, you learn how to make your sauce. You got your parsley out there. Mm-hmm. You learn how to make egg noodles fresh at home. You just roll them out in the sheet.
Wow.
You don't have to boil it. You just put it together because it's fresh. And you can make ricotta at home, which I do, when whole milk is as cheap as it is. You just need to learn how to bring it up to a scald. Get some fresh lemon juice in there. Get your cheesecloth.
But you're using store-bought milk.
Yeah, I don't milk. I don't have a cow to milk.
Okay. How long does this take you, this process?
You're going to make a batch of cheese, right, because you're going to use it over a week, right? So that's going to take – it actually only takes about 15 minutes, aside from tying it up and hanging it over the seat.
Yeah, but the most important thing here is that while you're doing all this, you can listen to Italian music. You can have a few glasses, if not a bottle. And
this is the second reference you've made to getting smashed on the show today. So
I'm just trying.
You also have bragging rights, too.
That does sound delicious. Andy, you send us your address, and I'll be over soon for dinner. This sounds just wonderful.
Okay, great.
We appreciate the call so much. Thank you for playing along. Okay, let's get another caller in as we near the buzzer here. Laura is up next. Hi, Laura. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I just want to thank you all so much. Your show is wonderful, and I get so much out of it. I'm a former farmer. I'm a greenhouse grower. Ornamental plant specialist. I love your show.
Thank
I learned
you.
So much, and I truly appreciate it. I'm calling for two things. I found those cranberries for 99 cents a pound. They look great. They're really fresh, and they're at the discount store begins with an A.
Nice.
You know, the German one.
Yeah, the German one. There you go. Awesome. Okay.
The other thing is I'm very interested in growing. I love, we're looking for land in northern Kentucky, trying to find a farmer that wants to sell a little bit to a responsible older couple. My dream retirement business is to grow plants, flowers and herbs and floristry. Chestnut trees. There was a woman on, and she mentioned she had chestnut tree seedlings, and I am very interested in getting hooked up with her.
Okay, this is another call for Carol. Carol with the chestnut tree farm in Pendleton County. Carol, if you're listening, we've got Matt and now Laura who are in desperate need of connecting with you. Please call us back. We'll get your email, and we will connect both Matt.
This is going to be high dollar.
It's big. It's big. We're going to get a commission out of it. It's going to go to our fundraising campaign.
How many Carols are there in Falmouth?
I mean, I don't know. Carol from Falmouth area. She was in Falmouth near. She was on the outskirts of that metropolis in Pendleton County. Laura, I'm going to put you on hold. Elise is going to collect your information, and hopefully if we get a hold of Carol, we will connect you some way. Thanks so much for your lovely words. Thanks so much for the tip on cranberries. All right. Thank you. And happy Thanksgiving to you. I think, did I put that on correctly? Is she on hold, Elise? Okay, good. The system's a little screwy for me. We have about a minute left. Let's see if we can get to Sherry's up next. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great. Happy Thanksgiving. What's your question or comment?
I have a 21-year-old ficus tree that I love dearly. I purchased it in a Dixie cup at 2 inches tall.
Nice.
That looked like it had an hour to live. It is now 9 feet tall. It resides in the dining room. And in the summer, we put it on the porch. Well, as cold weather approached, we got ready to bring it in and noticed it wasn't looking good. So we brought it in. The leaves are like paper. They're like paper. They're not falling tremendously. They will if I shake it, but I've just never seen anything like this. They curl, and they feel like a piece of paper, dry paper. And I don't know if I'll be able to save it, and it's going to break my heart.
Well, let's see if we can very quickly give you some perspective on this. Sherry, we're going to hang up, and we're going to let the panel talk about what they hear. And thanks for the call. About 15, 30 seconds.
Give us some pictures. Send it to us. Email it to us, either Sarah, myself.
All their information is on WVXU.org.
We'll take a look at it. And then also give us as much information about the pot, the growing conditions. Was it, what kind of sun it gets, that kind of thing. And when it was recently transplanted, all those things, we'll do
roots,
as much as we can.
Root pruning, soil. Container that it's in, maybe girdling roots, something like that.
All right, in our final seconds, Elisa, sorry, we're not going to be able to get to that call, and Dale called as well. We can't get to you guys. They were about Christmas trees. Give us a call on our December show for sure, and we'll continue talking about that, but by then you'll have already made your decision probably. Quickly, 10 seconds, what's going on in Campbell County?
We're off at noon today, so I'm ready to start my holiday right now.
All right.
Going to Findlay Market.
Anything special at the Boone County office?
December 10th, we have a commercial growers seminar, and would love to see people come to it.
Awesome. And Josh at Turner Farms.
At the farm itself, we have an on-site market that's open till dusk today.
Ooh,
we
cool.
have orange, purple, sweet potatoes, all kinds of squash, all kinds
Get
of onions, turnips, sweet pepper, watermelon, radishes, daikons, carrots.
That's it.
Lasagna.
Lasagna.
That's good. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Be sure to join us for Turkey Confidential. It's live culinary advice for you on the day you need it most, Thanksgiving. We'll be here taking your calls with some of our favorite friends, Samin Nosrat, Melissa Clark, Shauna Seaver, and Chef Kwame Onwuachi. That's Turkey Confidential on Thanksgiving Day from 8 p.m.
Listen at noon on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB.